This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. Hey, it's Dean. Welcome back to this special two-part podcast series on how to form new habits. How to form new habits in any area of your life, any dimension of your life, how to form any new habit and make that bad boy stick over the long run. This is part two of this special two-part installment. If you haven't listened to part one yet, go back, listen to that one first, because there's some crucial information in there that you want to know ahead of this second installment, part two. So again, part one is episode number 223, in which we break down the first five steps to forming new habits. And in this episode, part two, we're going to break down the final five. So there are 10 steps in total to forming any new habit in any dimension of life. And that's what we're covering in this two-part podcast series. So, quick recap of the last episode before we dive into this one. Step one to forming new habits is to form one new habit at a time. Step two, we said, was to understand that we don't need superhuman levels of willpower to form new habits. We just need enough willpower, enough discipline juice to get us going until we form that new habit, and then we can put it on cruise control, and at that point, it becomes automatic, and we can either maintain this habit, or we can move on and form a new habit if we want to. But the point is, it takes a lot of energy on our part in the beginning stage of forming a new habit, and we need to keep that intensity up. We got to keep that energy up for the first 30 to 66 days or so. But the point is that it's going to require discipline in the beginning until you can put it on cruise control and put it on autopilot and you form that habit. Step three, we said, was to leverage mini habits to get started. Step four, you want to attach new habits that you're trying to form to pre-established habits that you've already formed. And step number five, we said, was to make habits time-bound rather than outcome-bound. Now, again, if you haven't heard part one yet, go back, listen to that, then pick back up with part two here. Now, let's get going, baby. Let's dive right into it with step number six to forming any new habit. And that is to make if-then plans to overcome obstacles. Now, you can only reach a destination, any new destination, if you know how to get there, right? That's why planning is so crucial, so important. Solid plans help you stay the course. They help you take the steps that you need to take in order to achieve success. But no plan's perfect. That's why it's helpful to throw an if-then component into the mix as you work towards forming new habits. If-then planning is simple. If I am in this situation, then I will take this action. For example, if I don't have the time to make green juice in the morning, then I'll DoorDash it from the juice bar near my house. If I work late and I can't make it to the gym, then I'll do 50 air squats, 50 burpees, and 50 push-ups in my office. Those are some examples of if-then scenarios, of if-then plans. Life happens, right? And when you're forming a new habit, all sorts of random, unexpected things are going to pop up that you just weren't anticipating when you decided to start working on making this new change in your life. This is why you need to plan for unexpected obstacles and set up a few systems, some processes to deal with them when they arise. Doing this is going to make sure that you remain consistent and keep crushing it with your new habit. So, an actionable insight for you. Consider the obstacles that might get in your own way as you work towards forming your own new habit. And then make an if-then plan for as many of those obstacles that you think might come up. And if you can do that, then you'll be prepared and protected against any pitfalls as you progress towards forming your own new habit and ultimately towards achieving your own goal. Step number 7 to forming new habits is to set up habit ramps. This is a term that I coined to refer to these small cues in your environment that trigger a habit or make habits easier to execute. For example, your environment has a massive influence on your habits. So if you want to form better eating habits, for instance, you've got to make it easy to eat good stuff and hard to eat bad stuff. A popular way to do this that you might have heard of at some point is to purge your pantry of junk food. Now, this is a great start, right? You want to eat better, get rid of the junk food, don't make it accessible for yourself for when you get those cravings, and you'll be less likely to eat bad stuff. Now, this is a really good start, but it only addresses the make it hard to eat bad stuff part of the equation. So you purge the bad stuff, and then what? You're still going to have those cravings, right? Now, if you want to make it easier to eat good stuff, then it's a good idea to introduce a habit ramp. That is, prepare healthy options in advance and make them easy to access. Throw away the chips and dip and replace that with celery sticks and almond butter. It's so funny. I literally actually just had celery sticks and almond butter. Not almond butter. This time I had cashew butter. But in any case, instead of having chips and dip, which is what you would maybe usually reach for when you were having a snack, hey, have something that's equally as delicious, or if not better and more delicious, which is what I think, and you know, put that in the fridge. Make it easy to access. It's healthier and it's easier to access, which means you'll be more likely to go for that when you get a craving or when you're hungry than to just get in your car and go drive to the store and pick up some chips or whatever other junk food or order. Have that stuff ready to go. Do it once a week, plan out your meals maybe, or set those things up and put them in little baggies so they're easy to access if you're on the run, and have that. That's a habit ramp. So you set yourself up for success. Another example of a habit ramp. So this is from my own life. Since I work out first thing every single morning, I always, always, always go to sleep with my workout clothes on. That's a habit ramp. And then before I go to bed, I also place a liter of water next to my bedside table. That's another habit ramp. And then I also put right next to that a shaker filled with my pre-workout powder. There's another habit ramp. And my daily vitamins, habit ramp number 4, are on my bedside table as well. So before I go to bed, first I put my workout clothes on. Then I put a liter of water on my bedside table, a shaker filled with my pre-workout powder, and my daily vitamins on my bedside table. This way, as soon as I get up, bam, I can slam that liter of water with my vitamins and my pre-workout drink, and I'm ready to go. My gym bag, that's also ready to go and at the door. There's another habit ramp. That's 5 habit ramps total. And then once I get to the gym, I know exactly where I need to go because I've already pre-planned each and every workout that I'm doing for that day and for that week. So there's another habit ramp. And that way I don't need to run around from one workout station to another like a lost child. See, I'm ready to go. Boom, 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 boom. So can you start to see the magic here of having habit ramps in your life? Simple cues, simple triggers, simple ramps that allow you to really make it easy to just cruise onto the highway of your life and get those success habits going for yourself and expedite that process. They make it so much easier for you to take action, and you can set up as many of them as you want. So here's an actionable insight for you. Think about the new habit that you're working to form in your own life. What are some simple things that you can do? What are some habit ramps that you can set up to make it easier on yourself to build and maintain this habit over the long run? Set up as many of these habit ramps as you see fit to form and maintain your new habit. All right, let's move on to step number 8, perform habits at the same time every day to form them faster. Now, this is based on the principle that when you do something matters just as much as what you're doing and how you're doing it. Performing a habit at the same time every day makes it easier to lock that habit in over the long run. Your body doesn't know anything about time, and it never knows what time it is. Time is a concept that's created by the brain. Cavemen never knew what time it was, but they still went to sleep and got back up at roughly the same time that we do today, right? Your body doesn't revolve around time. It revolves around rhythm. For example, your body naturally wakes itself up when it's around light, and it naturally starts to put itself to sleep by producing melatonin when it senses there's a lack of light, i.e. nighttime. Another example, like I mentioned earlier, I take my vitamins and I drink my green juice at the same time every day because over time, my body actually begins to expect those nutrients to enter my body at those time periods. Another example, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. every single day is the 4-hour block of time in which I found that I can perform at my peak. Right? That's my peak productivity time. During this time of day, I've got the highest levels of energy, highest levels of mental clarity. It's my period of peak performance, as I like to call it. And because of this, I block this time of day out on my calendar on a daily basis to focus on my one big thing, my OBT for that day, my most important thing that I'm working on for that particular day. And I protect that time block. If it's something that I need to work on solo, individually, then I don't allow any human being to interrupt me. My phone is away. I don't even have it on my desk. It's out of my purview. I put it inside of my desk drawer, so it's out of sight. I have all my notifications off. Nothing is bothering me. If it's something I need to work on individually and I need to focus on, I put my full force, my full focus. I gather everything that I have going to my advantage and I put it towards that thing that I'm working on. That way I can really crush it. I can really do my best work, deep work, as Cal Newport calls it. Or if it's something that I'm working on with other people, I make sure that we don't have any distractions in front of us, right? I make sure that we're not distracted. We don't have crap that's dividing our attention. So there's another example. So three examples of how powerful timing is. And the idea here is you want to perform your habit that you're working to develop at the same time every day, because your timing triggers a habitual response in your brain and your body. If you do something at the same time on a regular basis over and over and over again, it's going to be easier for you to form it into a long-term habit. Here's your actionable insight for this step. Which time of day, ask yourself, is best for you to work on the habit that you want to form? Identify that time period, put it on your calendar, and protect that time block like your life depends upon it. Because that's going to be your period of peak performance. Identify it. Some people are morning people like myself. Some people are night owls. You might be a night owl. So identify that period in which you can really put your best, bring your best to the table as you're forming whatever new habit that you're trying to form. And by the way, if you're really interested in the power of when, right, the power of timing, which is something that I've found a very fascinating subject over the last year, there's a great book written by Dan Pink called When, The Scientific Secrets, I think it's called, to Perfect Timing or something like that. Anyways, look it up on Amazon, get the book, or if you want the book summary, you can pick that up over at getflashnotes.com. If you have Audible, you can also look it up. I've got my audiobook summary of When by Dan Pink on Audible as well. So in any case, pick it up. It's a great book to give you an in-depth understanding of how powerful timing can be in your life. Step number 9, implement rewards. Habits stick because they create cravings. Imagine this scenario. Every afternoon for the past year, you've bought and eaten a delicious chocolate chip cookie from the cafe at your workplace. You justify this as a reward for a hard day's work. Unfortunately, though, as a few friends have already pointed out, those delicious chocolate chip cookies that you've been having have been making you look like a fat ass lately. So you decide to kick the habit. But how do you imagine you'll feel that first afternoon walking past the cafeteria? Odds are, you're either going to eat just one more cookie or you'll go home in a distinctly grumpy mood. Now, why would you be grumpy? Because if you didn't give in to the cookie craving, it would have been the first time in a year that you broke your habit of rewarding yourself with a cookie. For 1 year, imagine, every day you go to work, At the same time, you march down to the cafeteria, you pick up that delicious, warm chocolate chip cookie. Now you break that habit, of course you're going to be in a bad mood. Now, in general, any habit, like this cookie habit, can be broken down into a three-part habit loop. Part one, first you sense an external cue, say your clock beeps, letting you know that it's lunchtime. This then creates an overall spike in your brain activity as your brain decides which habit is appropriate for the situation. Next, part two in the habit loop comes the routine, meaning the activity that you're used to performing when faced with this particular cue. You march down to the cafe, get your cookie, with your brain virtually on autopilot. And then finally, part three of this three-step habit loop is you get that reward, baby, a feeling of success as you bite into that delicious, warm, freshly baked chocolate chip cookie. Oh, God. And your overall brain activity increases again as your brain registers the successful completion of the activity and reinforces the link between the cue and the routine. This three-part habit loop is the reason kicking a bad habit is so incredibly hard, because over time you crave the reward at the end of a habit loop. Now, in his book, The Power of Habit, Charles Duhigg breaks this process down in detail, citing studies on both humans and animals. One of the studies that he cites on animals shows that once the animals become used to a simple cue, routine, reward, habit, their brains begin anticipating the reward even before they get it. And then once they anticipate it, denying them of the actual reward makes them frustrated and mopey. It pisses them off. This is the neurological basis of craving. For instance, going back to the cookie example, you deny yourself of that cookie for the first time in a year, you're going to be in a pissed off mood, right? You're going to be grumpy. So here's the good news though. Cravings, rewards, they work for building good habits too. Again, in The Power of Habit, Duhigg also cites research about how people who manage to exercise habitually, they crave something from the exercise, be it the endorphin rush in their brain, or the sense of accomplishment, or the treat that they allow themselves for afterwards, after their workout. And this craving is what really solidifies, what really locks that habit in over the long run. Cues and rewards alone are not enough. That desire needs to be there. That craving needs to be there for that reward. So it needs to be something you actually really want, something that you anticipate. And this can be something small. So for example, when I work out, I used to, for a long time, I switched it up with my protein shakes. I would have, you know, all these different types of protein shakes, and I would actually look forward to having that immediately after the gym. And I was like, all right, today's going to be the freeze-dried mango and vanilla. Okay, bam. I think about that as I'm, you know, in my workout. I'm like, oh man, I'm really going to enjoy that as soon as I'm done. Or, you know, the next day might be the double chocolate protein. So it's just a small thing, but for me, I really enjoy the taste of that protein shake after my workout. And so I was able to anticipate, to crave that reward. And that's how any craving works. That's how any habit works. There's got to be a craving there for that reward. If you're, you know, there are thankfully not nearly as many smokers as there used to be, but Juul, which is the e-cigarette, it's the same process. You know, you crave that nicotine. So that's the anticipation of before you picking up that Juul device and taking a puff of that vape, that sweet, sweet nicotine-laced vape, that anticipation is there. That craving is there. And that's what helps lock that habit in. That craving for that flavor that you enjoy, that craving for the reward of the nicotine rush that you get. And that all happens biochemically in your body. So there's got to be a strong craving there to help lock that habit in. Now, here's your actionable insight for this step. You want to make sure that you weave your own reward system into your process to help you lock in your new habit that you're forming. And you want to make sure that it's a reward that you crave, that you weave into your system to really ensure that you lock it in and are successful with forming this new habit. And also, you want to celebrate your successes, right, along the way, both big and small. And that helps as well. So ask yourself, what are some ways that you can reward yourself? What is a reward that you can truly crave? It doesn't have to be big. It can be, but it can also be something very small. And what is a reward that you can give yourself for successfully executing a habit? So every time you do that habit, every time you execute it, if you want to read regularly, if that's a habit that you're building, if that's a habit you want to form, hey, how can you reward yourself for every 20 minutes that you read on a daily basis? If your ultimate goal is to read for 1 hour a day and you're slowly building upon that, and this week you need to read for 20 minutes per day, following week you're going to increase it to 25. If you stick with it and you keep on doing it, hey, maybe there's a great reward that you can give yourself that you can truly crave at the end of the week or at the end of each session. Maybe if you read for 20 minutes, you also reward yourself with 20 minutes of Netflix, of your favorite show or something. So keep in mind, you need to reward yourself with something that you crave. It's very, very important. It doesn't matter what you reward yourself with, but it does need to be something you crave. And it can be as small as giving yourself 20 minutes of social media after 90 minutes of deep work. It can be rewarding yourself with a nice night out with your family. It can be a delicious protein shake that you remind yourself you're going to get to enjoy after you crush your workout. A reward can be anything you want it to be, so long as you're clear about what it is and make sure it creates a craving when you think about it and that you reward yourself with it on a regular basis after executing a habit or completing an action. All right, let's move on. Number 10, the final step to forming new habits is this: measure your progress. If you're working hard at forming an exercise habit, grab a calendar and draw a big red X on each day you work out. And before you know it, you'll have this nice buildup of X's. You'll form a link. It'll be this chain, and you're not going to want to break this chain. This is called the Seinfeld method. He used to write a joke every day, and he would write an X on his calendar for each and every day that he wrote a joke. And, you know, he would fill up his calendar with these big red X's, and he wouldn't want to break this progress. He had this momentum going, so he didn't want to see an empty block there. He wanted to see a straight, boom, 30 X's, right? A 30 chain link fence on his calendar for the month. So you don't want to break that momentum. And so you want to measure your progress to make sure that you're not breaking momentum, or that if there are any gaps in your progress along the way, you can fill those gaps in appropriately as necessary. So if you're forming the habit of eating healthy, give you another example, maintain a journal that tracks your eating habits, or maintain progress with an app like MyFitnessPal. Some folks, they do well when they declare their goals publicly. This is it. You know, the stakes are in the ground. They tell people about it. Another great way to form new habits is to involve other people. This can be especially powerful if you involve others with similar goals as yourself. For example, if you want to form a new gym habit, it helps to have a gym buddy to hold you accountable when you don't feel like showing up. If you're not into the buddy system, there are other ways to crowdsource the occasional swift kick in the ass that all of us need from time to time as well. There are apps out there. Apps like Spar, for instance, work well for this. That's S-P-A-R exclamation point. And an app like Spar actually allows you to join these habit-building challenges with other people from around the world who've got similar goals as you do. So each day, you do the activity from your challenge, which is a growth-oriented daily habit of some kind, like doing 50 push-ups or writing 500 words. And then you post a video check-in with your group. Now, there is a catch, though. You've got to put some dough on the line when you join the challenge. And if you fail to check in, you pay this preset amount, something like $5, to your group's pot. And then when the challenge is over, the winner gets all the cash. So there are tons of different ways to track your progress, to measure your progress, but which one are you going to use? That's what matters. So your actionable insight is this: what gets measured gets managed. Anytime you're working on anything meaningful, be sure to track your progress to ensure you're progressing forward. And if you're not, Hey, be flexible enough to adjust your path until you are. So ask yourself, what's one way that you can begin tracking your own progress towards forming your own new habit? Now, it's also, lastly, important to have support when you're pursuing goals and building habits. So what's one big way that you can bring people in person or online into your own life to hold you accountable as you form your new habit? Boom. That was the final actionable insight of the final step in this special two-part series on forming new habits, 10 steps total. Now, here's a quick recap. Number one, the first step to forming any new habit was to form one new habit at a time. It'll help you stay focused. Step number two, you don't need superhuman willpower to form a new habit. You just need enough to get you going. Once you've built your habit, you won't need willpower anymore. Step number three, leverage mini habits to get started. Incremental improvement can compound over time. Do a little bit every day and then build upon that. Step number four, attach new habits to pre-established habits. Leverage the momentum of current success to spur future success. Step number five, make habits time-bound rather than outcome-bound. Chunking actions down into manageable blocks of time is going to feel a lot better, and it's going to help you form new habits more easily than trying to do it all at once. Step number six, make if-then plans to overcome obstacles. Preparation beats perspiration. Step number seven, set up habit ramps for yourself, because setting the stage makes it easier to act, which makes it easier to form new habits. Step number eight, perform habits at the same time every day to form them faster, because when you do something matters just as much as what you're doing. Step number nine, implement a reward system. Cue plus routine plus reward means you form a new habit. So remember that formula and make sure that whatever reward you add in there is something that you truly crave, however big or small. And then the final step, step number 10, to forming any new habit is to make sure that you measure your progress. Stay on top of your new habit and be flexible. Hey, I really hope that this two-part series was helpful for you. I hope it served you. I hope it can enhance your life. Go back, listen to this again. Listen to it over and over and over again until you get it. And put these actionable insights into practice. If you want, you can go back, rewind, pause at the actionable insight area for each and every step, and then do the exercises if you haven't done them. Grab a notebook and dedicate it to this specific thing of forming a new habit and really put these ideas into work. I really hope that you will. I really hope that you'll use them. And if you find it as helpful as I hope that you do, then hey, share it with somebody. Share it with somebody that you think it could help. And as always, if you've got any questions, hit me up. If you've got any follow-up questions you want me to answer from this two-part series, holler at me, baby. Questions@deanbokhari.com. Again, that's questions@deanbokhari.com. Or hit me up on Twitter @deanbokhari, deanbokhari. As always, I love you guys. And go out there every single day and live like you give a damn. It's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.